open the crescendoing Thursday of the Zman by turning our attention instead to Ramban to a Netziv which opens a very important sefer. Like the Ramban, the Netziv has hakdamos to the Svarim. Like the Ramban several centuries before him, the Netziv is interested both in the local and the global perspectives, both in the Pasuk by Pasuk, but also in the whole Parsha and in the whole Sefer. And he has an absolutely fascinating Hakdama perspective on Sefer Bamidbar as a whole, and it gets us thinking in a lot of productive ways in general, and maybe specifically for the next couple of days and weeks and months and the next couple of decades. Because the Netziv wants to know, what's with the name of the Sefer? What's the name of Sefer Bamidbar?
Numbers,
right? Gavi says, well, now you might be thinking, that's awkward. That's the non-Jewish name. Oh, but the truth is, exactly, take a look inside. He says, what did Chazal, we nowadays call it Sefer Bamidbar. But Chazal had names for each of the Svarim, and they should sound familiar from the English. Like Sefer HaYetzirah. And we saw the Ramban talks about Chumash Mos and Sefer HaGolos VaGeula. Chazal referred to Vayikra as Torah's Kohanim. That's in English or in Latin, Genesis, Exodus, and Leviticus, which is the study of Levium, as in Torah's Kohanim. And Sefer Devarim obviously is Mishnah Torah. In Latin, Deuteronomy, Deutero is two. And Sefer Bamidbar, the name that Chazal use is Numbers. Take a look inside. Zeh Sefer, right in front of you. They're in Tziv's Psicha to Sefer Bamidbar. Zeh Sefer Nikar Rifi HaTana in Masachas Sotah, he calls it the Chumash HaPekudim. He refers to the Psukim in Pinchas as the Psukim in Chumash HaPekudim, the Chumash of Numbers. The Bahag uses terminology. Now, the problem is the following. Kolzman, that Numbers is just the non-Jewish name, so we're not really misyaches much to it. But if this is Chazal's name for Sefer Bamidbar, well, the name we use for Sefer Bamidbar fits well, because Bamidbar is one of the first couple of words in the Sefer, and it happens to also, like Bereishis, it's not only an opening word, it fits well. It is the Sefer of the Midbar. The Sefer Bamidbar chronicles Kol Yisrael's travels in the Midbar from year 2, he's still encamped at Har Sinai all the way until year 40. So the name Bamidbar fits well. But Chazal's name is Chumash HaPekudim, the Chumash of Numbers. Anything strike you about that name? Like, why should that be the name of the Sefer? I mean, it's true that the first thing that happens in the Sefer is the Jews get counted. Okay. He says, Chazal aren't just calling it Pekudim because of the count here. Near the end of Sefer Bamidbar as well, in year 40, is another count. And then Tziv says, Chazal are naming the Sefer for the counting, but why? Why did that strike them? Why was that more remarkable? Near Sham is remarkable, literally. Yosar Mishari Devarim Shem Yuchadim B'Zeh HaSefer. All sorts of other far more unique and offhand, far more substantial, significant events in the Sefer. The Meraglim, Birkas Bilam, and so many other events. Meraglim changed Jewish history forever. Churban Bayis Rishon, Churban Bayis Sheni. Right? Chazal says because of the Chatzim Meraglim. You made a Bechia L'Shalchinam, Ani Ekblachem Bechia L'Doros. There's so many things, so many Adas Korach, so much happened. That's what we talk about. Numbers. That's the most significant part of the Sefer. I mean, when you give a book a title, you want something that's going to capture it. How do the countings of the Jewish people? And let's be honest. You'll probably have an easier time being Maver Sedra, Parsha Shlach, or Parsha Korach. Okay, so Balak is hard. The language of Bilam is hard. It's going to take more work. But the stories of Shlach and Korach are fascinating and often far more intriguing than the counts and the numbers in Parshas Bamidbar. So, Torah Hivalibul Ani Tzarech, okay, it's Torah, I'm going to learn it. But that doesn't draw us in as much. So why would Chazal title the Sefer the book of countings, the book of numbers. Well, what are they getting at? Rabbi Nitziv says, I'll tell you what they're getting at. Mishum de'ikir zeh ha-sefer hu ha-machlif u-mishna halichos im Hashem b'chai ha-olam mi'az she'igiyu le'eretz Yisrael. Min ha-derech sh'holchu ba-midbar. It's not just about the counting. It's not the counting per se. But as he said before, it's the two countings capture something very significant. What's Sefer Bamidbar really about? It's not about counting. It's not about any specific episode, even like Korach or the Meraglim or Bilam or Milchemes Midian. It's much more that those are all important trees in the forest. But what's the forest about? When you step back, as one does in Hakadamah to Sefer, what's Sefer Bamidbar about as a whole? It's about, he says, the transition in the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacted with us from Midbar to getting to Eretz Yisrael. Sefer HaMidbar, the Ritziv says, is a sefer of transition. And you're watching the way, the type of Hanhaga HaKadosh Baruch Hu had with us in the Midbar, and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu transitions us to the type of Hanhaga we're going to have in Eretz Yisrael. Sheba Midbar Ha'yum is not given us to Tifera Shalach Yumin Moshe. The Jews in the Midbar, is a question of understanding. Question of understanding, or it's an added piece.
What sparked that
transition? Oh, we're going to see. We're just getting warmed up here. The Nativ explains, think about the Jews in the Midbar. Think about the Jews in the Midbar. They're living totally with Nisan. Breakfast, lunch, and supper fall from the sky every day. And wars and climate control, everything is handled mamish with nisim gluim. They're living with total nisim. It was lamala min hateva. Eretz Yisrael, halchu b'derech hateva. Once we came into Eretz Yisrael, which is where the Jews are about, what's about to happen to the Jewish people at the end of Sefer Bamidbar, they're within a few months. As we saw in the Rambam, right? That Sefer Devarim opens with a month and a week left to the lifetime of Moshe Rabbeinu, Rosh Chodesh Shvat. That's basically where Sefer Midbar leaves us off. In year 40, they're already looking over the river at the Eretz Yisrael they're going to get to. So once they get to Eretz Yisrael, they were no longer eating the mud. Eretz Yisrael, they were farming the land and growing and working and living from Yegiyah Kapam. Eretz Yisrael holcha b'derech hateva. What does that mean? Does that mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu is God? No. B'sisri hashkachas malchus shamayim baruch hu. It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Eretz Yisrael chooses a natural hanhaga. I mean, he's in the shadows. He retreats from being obvious. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is no longer obvious. Still involved in our lives, but not in an obvious way. Nisim nistarim instead of nisim geluyim. When does, and now Yaakov had asked, well, when does this, we begin to understand why it happened. When did it happen? V'zeh shinu hischil otam b'midbar b'shnas arbaim k'mo shebi'arnu b'parshas chukas. As I explained in Parshas Chukas, I explained means that he wrote the Hakdama obviously after the Pirush on the Pesukim. So as if you're learning Siv when you get to Parshas Chukas, which is when the middle of Chukas is when you begin to hear about year 40. So he'll point out there that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu began to transition Kalal Yisrael already in that last year into a more natural hanhaga. The way that they fought wars in the last year were more b'derech hateva with Sichon, with Og. The Moshe no longer is holding the matzah at all times. Nitziv is going to develop that. So he says that's really the core of Sefer Bamidbar is to see that Kadosh Baruch Hu deals with us in different ways at different times and to see the transition. Achein, and now we come back to the name of the Sefer. Achen ikra hefresh hazeh hayanikir b'shnei ha-pekudim sh'ayu shnei inyanim shomer choshavim b'chomer ha-masa v'nishtanu b'tzuras ha-masa v'yelich Yisrael. So if you want to see the difference between life in year 2 and life in year 40, between life which is totally l'mal min ha-tev and totally hyper spiritual in a very obvious way versus life in a more natural zone where the spirituality is less obvious, so look at the before and after, because counting takes place twice. You can look at the way the Jews are counted in Chumash Bamidbar in year 2. You look at the way the Jews are counted towards the end of Sefer Bamidbar in year 40. And he says they're similar in Chomer HaMaisa, but different in the Tzuras HaMaisa. The content's the same, counting the Jewish people by Shevet. The way it's done, the way it's organized, is different. For example, Pama Rishona Ayahaya Pisedra HaDegalin Midalad Ruchos. Right? In this week's Parsha, they're counted by Shevet, Reuven Shimon, Gad. And then Yehudi Yisachar Zvun. Why? Why is Gad there? Because that's the way we learn later in the Sedra, that's the way they were organized in the Degalim, when they encamped in the Midbar around the Mishkan. So one side was Reuven, Shimon, Gad. Another side was Yehudi, Yisachar, Zvulun. The way that the Shevatim are sequenced in the count in this week's Parsha corresponds to the Degalim, and he throws in one quick line that you better not miss. They were al pisei degalim midalad ruchos from the four sides kemerkava l'shchina, like kemerkava to Hakadosh Baruch Hu Shchina. It's a very quick phrase. It's very short and very deep. Mirtz Hashem, this Sunday morning, the first morning of Shavuos, whether you're listening to the haftarah at 5-6 in the morning or at 9:30 in the morning, but the haftarah, I've often wondered, only somewhat tongue in cheek, whether Klal Yisrael has developed a minig over the last couple of centuries that we get everyone very tired before we lay in the Merkava out loud. Merkava of Yishayahu is what is a haftar for Parshas Yisro. That's much less explicit. That says Baruch, that's Kadosh 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 Hashem Tzvakas Moch Haaretz Kedoshah Yishayahu Perek Vav. The far more vivid Merkava is there Merkava Yicheska Yicheska Perek Aleph Baruch Kadosh Hashem Mekomo. That's haftar for the first morning of Shavuos, and if you're zocha to be awake. Usually, if you stay up all night and you daven vasikin, as opposed to going to sleep after stay up all night and daven regular time, so if you daven vasikin after a whole night awake, so then often the most tired time, I think, for most people is the haftarah. I strongly recommend standing. So if you're zocha to actually hear the haftarah, you'll hear Yechezkel gives a whole a vivid, almost like a, he gives you like a guided tour. Of moving up in Shamayim, according to Rav Arye Kaplan, it's he's giving you a sense of the process of getting nevuah, the process of a person's aliyas neshama, so he plugs into nevuah. So he's describing different malachim, the seraphim and the alfanim and the chayos. I don't know what they mean, but they're there. And then he describes that some spiritual creature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu called the merkava, the kisei hakavod, the same. It's a metaphor. A king sits on a throne. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, so to speak, atop, whatever that means, this spiritual entity called the Kisei HaKavod, which is described by Yechezkel, by the Nevi'im, as having four different sides. And each side has a particular image associated with it, a particular idea associated with it. I don't even know what it means. If I did know what it means, the Mishnah Chegi says I couldn't tell you. And because I'm a Mishnah Chegi guy, I also myself don't know what it means either. But the Netziv says, but you notice, I might not know what it means, but I know that it's extraordinarily Kabbalistically significant. The notion of four sides surrounding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, and then all of a sudden the Netziv with Mamash with two words infused Parshas Bamidbar. Like, whoa! He said Parshas Bamidbar, at the end we're going to get to the shape of the Machaneh. That's not just, practically how they camped. This is not a Boy Scout camp. This is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Klal Yisrael to organize themselves in a square around the Mishkan. That's some earthly human correspondent to the Merkava, to the Kisei HaKavod. There's profound, profound, profound sod going on here. Saying that's appropriate for when Klal Yisrael are in the position of a Kadosh Baruch Hu living with Gilui Shechina, Hanhaga Nisus, a supernatural Hanhaga. And that's why even the count, the way the Jews are counted, is such a simple, tiny detail that we would so easily otherwise have ignored. What order do the Shvatim appear in Parshas Bamidbar? He says the fact that God comes before Yehuda means the world. Because it means that they're not being organized in the natural order of a birth order or something like that. They're being organized by how they encamp around the Mishkan, which is Merkava L'Shechina. That's Klal Yisrael in their highest, most ideal form. You may be familiar with the fact that Chazal speak as well in the Midrashim about the Bnei Yaakov, the fathers of each of these Shvatim, carrying Yaakov's Aram back from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael in the same format. Again, I'm not equipped to explain the full significance of it, but there is a lot of significance, profound significance to this setup. And he says that's why also in this week's parasha, Ephraim comes first. That also corresponds to the way they camped around the Mishkan, because the way they camped around the Mishkan, each side had a captain shevet. Each side had a primary shevet and two secondary shvatim. Ephraim was the primary shevet, that's why he comes first in this week's parasha. As opposed to in Pekudei Parshas Pinchas, in year 40, as I will explain more when we get deeper into the psukim. So he says, the count in year 40 already is a much more natural count. It's subtle. The detail changes are subtle. Yeah, they're being counted. But the way it's organized reflects a different hanhaga, reflects a more supernatural versus a more natural hanhaga. And he has one more point to make, which goes back to what Yaakov was saying, then we'll take more questions as well. He says, this also explains another mystery wrapped in an enigma. There's an absolute puzzle. Chazal this line about Vayhi ben Soa Ha'aron, those two psukim in Baalosra that are marked off by those reverse nuns, as being like its own sefer. And you usually assume that Chumash Torah. The Torah is composed of five Svarim out of the 24 Kisvei HaKodesh. And Al Pidin, Kedusha Sefer, usually we assume is when you have an entire Bamidbar or entire Bereishis. But there is this approach in Chazal that to an extent we see Vayhi ben Soa Ha'aron as a separate Sefer, such that we would see Bamidbar as being three Svarim. Up until Vayhi ben Soa, Vayhi ben Soa itself, those two psukim, and after Vayhi ben Soa. What on earth does that mean? What's with the reverse nuns? What does any of this mean? Rabbi Shech likes to quote Dr. Norman Lamb's drasha on the Nunim Hafuchim. Not for now, it's a very beautiful drasha. It was actually just this morning at the bris and naming of Dr. Lamb's great-grandson for him. There's a new Norman Lamb in the world, a young baby Norman Lamb. Some other time maybe we'll talk about the new, maybe next week we'll talk about the Dr. Lamb's drasha, the Nunim Hafuchim. It's very beautiful and very practical. But that's al derech drash. Al derech psha, whoa. Vayhi ben Soa is a sefer b'fnei atzmo. The whole thing is mysterious, such a puzzle. What does this mean? What does this mean? He says, I'll tell you. In the closing lines of the psicha, take a look inside. Hanir dal pizeh akavana amru chazal de vayhi ben Soa aron hu sefer b'fnei atzmo. When Chazal say that to an extent, those two psukim form a sefer in and of themselves, such that they cut the rest of Bamidbar into two other svarim, is before Vayhi ben Soa, Vayhi ben Soa itself, and after Vayhi ben Soa. L'lamdeinu ki ba'asher ki ha'kavan, ha'scholas ha'shinoi haya min vayhi am kimisoninim. The transition, the downward spiral, happens right after Ibn Zaharan. The Rav has the Salvech is a very beautiful drasha, Parshas Baalosra. He points out that up until the middle of Baalosra, up until Ibn Zaharan, I think it's that drasha may be based, it could be even Befeir's quotes, I don't remember, this Netziv. He says, the first, Bamidiv, the beginning of Chum Sefer Bamidiv, Nasa, in the beginning of Baalosra, is a triumphant march into Eretz Yisrael. He says, everything is going swimmingly. Everything is going gloriously. They're at Har Sinai for almost a year. They come to Har Sinai, Rosh Chodesh Sivan of year one. They're there until a year minus 10 days, the 20th of Iyar in year two. and they're ready. Akash Bo is getting them ready to Gollum, and he's counting ready to go. You know, we're hearing in the sixth parsha by the Yod Seit Tzava is going to be a Jewish army. We're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, and he has the Chatzotros ready, and he even says, Moshe even says in Baal Oscha to his father-in-law, No Sivan Achnu, we are headed to Eretz Yisrael. We're ready to go. We're leaving our Sinai, and we're going to Eretz Yisrael. Come join us. Don't go back to Midian. Come with us. The triumphant march, as Rav puts it, into Eretz Yisrael. And then, all of a sudden, they get like sidelined. Well, after Vayhi ben Sar Aaron, there's a series of chatan, beginning with Vayhi as Amakim Esodim. They're complaining about Narishkeit. You're at Kashbar, taking to Eretz Yisrael. You're living with Nisim. Man is falling out of the sky every day. You're surrounded by an Ani HaKavod. And the Jewish people are like, complain about Narishkeit. Really? Really? Because you couldn't find the type of fleishiks that you wanted? That's what you worry about? Kadosh Baruch Hu was about to like whisk you miraculously to Eretz Yisrael. And all you can complain about is, is you didn't like the airline food? You're going to Eretz Yisrael! Wah! And then one little chet, and then another chet, and a bigger chet, and a bigger chet. And there's a downward spiral starting right after Vayhi ben Sar. That it goes further and further, builds and builds more chatam until Parsha Shlach and Meraglim. And at that point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Okay, now we're switching to Plan B. Klal Yisrael will still make it to Eretz Yisrael, but we're taking the Plan B approach. The longer, more circuitous, more torturous is going to be a matter of decades instead of a matter of days or weeks." And the Netziv says that there was not only was there a delay, but also that's when we began to, that's when sort of things, the die was cast, it sounds like, that there would be more of a downshift in the long run into this Hanhaga Tivis. Mizen Nishtalshe says, it was Tzel HaShkacha Yad Yaminim, they were living so intimately with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the lil chatam mattered so much, and he thinks davrazaya kasha leim lisbol achagarm lishloach meraglim. He understands maybe somewhat similar to the sasemes, that the mechanics a little different, but the concept is somewhat similar. That the chatam meraglim itself was wrapped up with this also. The kasha were having a hard time with living so closely, so to speak, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sasemes, I think, says that the meraglim they made up this story because they thought that Klal Yisrael weren't ready to sort of this similar, but maybe in reverse. They weren't sure Klal Yisrael were ready to shift away from the Hanhaga Nisus into Hanhaga Tiv. They weren't sure they were ready to go into Eretz Yisrael. The Tziv sees it as sort of a different angle, and that's the same tension that it was too much in Eretz Yisrael. So Nishtalshel V'Halach, and down that's the downward spiral. So Sefer Bamidbar's Chumash HaPakudim, it's not that the counting itself is the most significant, the most momentous event in Sefer Bamidbar. But Sefer Bamidbar is much more than any one event. Sefer Bamidbar as a whole is a transition of Klal Yisrael from Hanhaga Nisus to Hanhaga Tivis, in different ways, and sometimes like Kadosh Baruch Hu being less obvious in our lives, and the counting captures that, because looking at the counting before and after captures that, and a greater sense of hashkacha is incredible, and also is more demanding. Kadosh Baruch Hu is taking more care of us, and at the same time, it means we want to hold ourselves to a higher standard. So with this psicha, all of a sudden, does let's wrap up, and then I'm glad that then we'll take some questions. Let's just encapsulate some of the big picture items that emerged from what the Netziv just gave us over the last few minutes. Number one, an appreciation of a sefer as a whole, and at the same time also an appreciation of little details that we would easily have missed. We would very easily never have looked at the bigger picture. We also would never necessarily have cared about why is God first? Why do Chazal call it Chumash HaPakudim? And the binding together of the little itty-bitty details with the biggest big picture. And then the theme of Hanhaga Tivis versus Hanhaga Nisus, of Nisim Nistarm versus Nisim Gluyim, and the theme of transitions. And transitioning from one phase in one's Avos Hashem to a different phase in one's Avos Hashem, and figuring out how to do that well in a forward-facing way and with growing momentum. So it's perhaps incredibly auspicious to begin to step forward, as I said before, the crescendoing Thursday of this Zman. Of this Zman, after this Zman comes another Zman, and another Zman, and another Zman, and another Zman, for many years and decades to come. Regardless of whatever you do professionally, there will be many, many decades of Zmanim, of growth, of ambitious growth in learning, ambitious growth of Avodas Hashem b'chlal, in different circumstances, and with, one could say, loosely speaking, with different hanagas. So there's a lot to begin Sefer Bamidbar now. Is gives us a lot to think about. A lot to think about. Maybe this will even have whetted your appetite to learn Tziv. Tziv is very beautiful, a different flavor, different style, and very, very appealing to many, many people. Questions? You've been waiting very patiently. That's a good question. One could have imagined that it was ideal, although the Netziv at the end makes this sound, I think what he's trying to say is, had we not been Chote, then things would have been more Nisi, even in Eretz Yisrael. Probably not as much as in the Midbar, but it wouldn't have been as dramatic a shift. Maybe we wouldn't have needed to transition gradually already in year 40. It was such a dramatic shift because of the Chatan. Again, you have to look. He tells you to look at what he writes in the Pnim HaSefer, you know, different points he had referenced to look. But I think there would have been, my understanding is, there would have been some transition. They wouldn't have been living off Mun forever. They would have been farming Eretz Yisrael. That was definitely part of Plan A as well. But it would have been with a greater Gilui Shechina. Yeah.
So what, say that the whole
That's exactly the point. Because in Eretz Yisrael, and this comes back to your point, it was ideal that in Eretz Yisrael they should, and this is an important point to stress, and maybe there was a more dramatic downshift because they're Chatam, but presumably Plan A included, when you clearly going into Eretz Yisrael, that's clear in Chumash Bereishis. And living in Eretz Yisrael meant working the land. Living in Eretz Yisrael meant living with fewer nisim gluyim. That is ideal. The overall design of Olam Hazeh is that Kaddish, within the context of Olam Hazeh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes a step back and gives us the space to work and to create and to do and to be Olam B'Nisayim. So that is, a lot of this transition is certainly ideal. What he's saying at the end is, you know, maybe it was a more dramatic and sharper downshift because of our Chatan. But there was supposed to be, the Midbar never was supposed to be the end game. The Midbar was never supposed to be the end stage. The end stage was supposed to be Eretz Yisrael, with all that means. It means Beis HaMikdash, and it means Nevi'im, and it means living in the palace of the king, and it means working the land and doing Lamatas Malachas. It means Hanhaga Tivis with a tremendous amount of Gilui Shechina. But the extreme Hanhaga Nisus of the Midbar was meant to be temporary. It was scaffolding, spiritual scaffolding. And that all of us personally go through that over the course of a lifetime. There are certain stages that get us ready for other stages. Different stages are meant to be temporary. Singlehood is a very important stage. One hopes that's an important preliminary stage to Alken Yazavish Zavavizimo V'davak B'Ishto. It doesn't downgrade the significance of being a Bacher. Bacherhood is very important. It's a very important, hopefully, it's a very important scaffolding for the next stage. So Klal Yisrael's time in the Midbar was very important scaffolding for Eretz Yisrael. There's a lot of deep and practical ideas to think about.